Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Sorrow over death is not new to humanity. Yet every time someone close to us is taken away, the power of sorrow overwhelms us. Our sadness is joined to fear for what lies ahead without our loved one. Such was the situation in the land of Judah some 750 years before Christ appeared. Chapter 6 of Isaiah, our Old Testament passage, begins, "In the year that Uzziah died." King Uzziah of Judah had a long and distinguished career. He had begun his reign only when he was 16 years old, and he reigned for 52 years. Overall, it was said he was a good king. 2 Kings 15 says that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Uzziah also led his people in military victories over their enemies. He was a strong king. He was an energetic builder, planner, and general. 2 Chronicles 26 says, "His fame spread as far as the borders of Egypt because he had become very powerful." But this powerful and beloved king's life ended oh so tragically. He was struck with leprosy and was an isolated leper until he died. So to say in the year King Uzziah died is to say a lot. It is to say in the year a great and wise king died, and he died tragically. Isaiah and the people of Judah had reason to be discouraged and disillusioned at the death of King Uzziah because a great king had passed away. We know that gut-wrenching feeling when we sit in church or in a funeral parlor mourning the loss of a brother, sister, mother, father, wife, or husband, or a child. Certainly the disciples felt that heartbreak when Jesus died. All their hopes were in him. He didn't just inspire a nationalistic pride. He gave hope to people who had no hope through his teachings about God, through his miraculous signs and wonders, through his miraculous healings. And all that hope went to the tomb of Jesus where his lifeless body lay. As we sit beside our loved ones' tombs, with the disciples, we can't help but ask, where do we go from here? How do we move forward with the pain of loss we feel so strongly? Let me take you back to Isaiah for a moment. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah has a vision. He says, "I saw the Lord seated upon the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the entire temple." What Isaiah saw with his visionary eyes, we will behold one day face to face. The Lord seated on the throne in his temple, reminding us that he's not just a mighty ruler, but God Almighty, who is to be worshipped and adored by all heaven, who gave us a preview of the song, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." But who did Isaiah see seated on the throne? Those who witnessed the resurrection of Jesus looked back to Isaiah's vision, and they saw the pre-incarnate Christ. Isaiah, as some of you know, is sometimes called the Old Testament evangelist. because of his prophetic insight into the life of Christ, Jesus. I believe his words because of the accuracy of his predictions. 750 years before Christ appeared, Isaiah foresaw the virgin birth of the Son of God. He writes in chapter 7, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which Matthew tells us means God with us. 750 years before Christ appeared, Isaiah, knowing the great despair human beings would suffer, promised hope with the coming of the Messiah. When he said in chapter 9, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of darkness, a light has dawned." 750 years before Christ appeared, Isaiah predicted the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus for all sinners. "Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him," he writes, "and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." What an amazing prophecy. 750 years before Christ appeared, Isaiah foresaw the disciples being taught by Jesus on a mountainside who were sent forth to proclaim good news of God's salvation and his eternal rule. And this is what he says: "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, 'Your God reigns.'" 750 years before Christ appeared, Isaiah predicted that this great child ruler would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Who but Jesus could fulfill these prophecies? Who but Jesus is worthy of the title Messiah, the Anointed One? When Jesus arrived, the world came alive with hope. He didn't just make the lame walk, give sight to the blind, cause the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. He not only calmed the sea with a word and cast out demons by his command, but he also did what no other person could do except God, and that is forgive sins. Furthermore, he promised eternal life as a gift from heaven to those who would simply believe the good news. When Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life." As you well know, it's Memorial Day. It will be tomorrow. A day we remember those who gave the ultimate. They gave their lives for our freedom. In some ways, it's a very sad day for anyone who has experienced the loss of a family member or a friend during war. Having noted that, when Jesus died, there couldn't have been a sadder day in all of humanity. One man's life was given for the life of the world. A man who did only good, and yet this was all in God's plan, forecasted through the words of Isaiah. Through the death of his son, God would offer forgiveness, life, and salvation to all people. Even with all Isaiah's predictions of the Messiah's victory, hope really wasn't restored until Jesus rose from the grave. It was at that point Isaiah's words, though ancient, came alive. Isaiah's promises of eternal life began to take root only after that great battle was won. Only after the resurrection did Jesus' followers begin talking about their heavenly inheritance. Today, we're not only remembering those soldiers who have given their life for our country, but today especially we remember the life of Jesus, who gave his life for all. But the grave couldn't hold him. Paul would write later to young Timothy, here is a trustworthy saying, and I believe it's trustworthy for us as well. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. As we look back on that day, what a glorious vision is set before us if we look through Isaiah's eyes and see the Lord Jesus seated on the throne, high and lifted up, and the heavenly host standing over him, crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. The whole earth is filled with his glory." From his holy altar, he continues to dispense forgiveness to the lost. For our eyes have seen the Lord of hosts. My friends, no battle can destroy our hope today, because we've seen the Lord through trustworthy eyewitnesses. Christ is alive. We celebrated that on Easter. We continue to celebrate that throughout the church year. My prayer is that for all of us, we see with Isaiah's eyes. Even in the midst of sorrow, the Lord is seated upon his throne high and lifted up, and that this vision, made crystal clear by the life, suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus, may give us hope and lift us up in our time of grief. In Jesus' name, amen.